Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly.
Yay! It is another week. Another week. Pat's back. Pat is back. All right. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing just fine. It was, I was sorry to be away last week, but it was, I also had myself a decent time. I was at a toy show.
Fantastic. Tell us all about it. Which one was it?
Toy-hio. I believe that was the, yeah, Toy-hio. I'm going to go with that. I'm pretty sure. I get them a little bit confused sometimes, but yes, it was really good. It's over there in Eastern Ohio, and yeah, just always a really good turnout. Really, really good deal for getting into that show.
Yeah.
And this is the show that's in, you know, later in the year, so it's not as crazy busy. Last time I was there, parking was nuts. I had to park like a few businesses down from it was just insane. But this time was really good.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad that after I gave you the day off, what the hell?
Yeah. How many vacation days do I have left this year? Anyway,
Mom will let you know. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
A couple of hearts. That's straight back to you. I got a couple of hearts last week, but I think they were hearts that were intended for you, Pat, and then you weren't here, so. It's a shame. Hello, everybody. Thanks to everyone's comments already in the comment section. You guys are the best. For everyone watching, hit a like, hit a subscribe if you don't already subscribe. Although I'd be surprised if you, at this point, if you're watching us, if you're not subscribed, WTF, guys. Anyway, a little bit of news this week. Not a great deal, but we're kind of looking at some kind of like interesting bit nuggets of information. Obviously, there's a nice bit of kind of like Amazon delivery news this week. And I couldn't even have time to update the recording I did for that particular segment. So we'll get to that when we get to it. But we'll start off with a little, well, kind of like the doom and gloom aspect of the week. And that is in Hasbro's financials news. Just in case you thought today was going to be all rosy and fun, here's the doom and gloom segment. Earlier this week, Hasbro reported a 15% decline in revenue for the third quarter as its operating profit fell 47% to a meager and paltry $194.3 million. Why not make it an even 194 and I'll take the 0.3? According to Hasbro, revenues of $1.68 billion were negatively impacted by a shift in schedules on multiple fronts, with pull forward by retailers to avoid anticipated supply chain challenges, entertainment content delivery, and a shift of major Magic the Gathering releases to quarter 4 versus quarter 3 last year, causing the most damage. Revenue declined across all three of its reporting segments, including a 10% drop in consumer products, including toys, a 16% slide in Wizards of the Coast digital gaming, and a 34% drop in entertainment. The acquisition of E1 continues to bite them pretty hard, and if rumours are true, they will be looking to sell additional E1 assets in much the same way as they shifted the music division last year. CEO Chris Cox has explained that the new Blueprint 2.0 plan they revealed during the Investor Day will steady the course. Well, I guess we will see come the next quarterly report, won't we? I guess we will. Very judgmental, Christopher, in that naughty sounding me in that recording. Right, so this is, yeah, you know, we're starting with the negative, I guess, and getting this out of the way, because you know what we like on this show, we don't like to leave on a low. So we'll start with this. Interesting report there, Pat, wasn't it? I mean, kind of expected a little bit, what with all of the issues and the problems and the delays and everything. I mean, did you expect anything else?
No, there's, I mean, I can't imagine how you would expect anything else. It's, I mean, Ollie's near me, the big closeout store in the country. Yeah. They have a ton of Hasbro product right now, a ton of it that they got from what they're calling a fancy store. And I'm fairly certain that it's Target, because Target has some in-house brands on some other things like electronics, and a bunch of that stuff's also showing up at Ollie's. So I think that it's Target. It looks like dumped a bunch of their stuff. They just probably diverted it directly to Ollie's rather than sending it to their stores.
Yeah.
Because we're in this weird situation. We all remember last year, the shelves were bare.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff was in the pipeline, as we kept on saying it. And now it's just coming through too quickly.
Well, funny you should mention that as well. Like, someone has already, Jarhead has already got in with the any idea what's going on with Tiger Force Outback. And the only thing, I mean, we discussed this last week, no, 2 weeks ago, I think, Pat. We discussed it in some way. We might have been privately. But we basically had a conversation about this as to, like, what is going on. And the only thing we could really kind of surmise is that you've got, like, an issue with, you know, kind of media-sensitive product with Star Wars and Marvel. And it is kind of, you know, that is the priority at the end of the day that needs to kind of be on the shelves, yeah, in kind of line with what's going on TV. You've got Andor on TV at the moment. You've got on streaming. You've got, you know, She-Hulk's just been on as well. So, you know, there was some product for that. So you've got to have all this stuff kind of like there. That takes the precedent. And then, you know, I feel like Classified, because it doesn't have that pressure, that it kind of gets bumped a little bit. And even though we know that that product is in the United States, for some reason, Target are just prioritizing these other things, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I think that we did talk about this on the episode 2 weeks ago, because I remember, well, maybe we didn't. I remember mentioning to you that there was like a Transformer set for me that I kept on having to go into Target's app and confirm that.
The delay. Yeah.
Yeah. Over and over and over again. And if Outback plays out the same way, I'm going to see him on the pegs while I'm still being told to confirm delays.
I feel like Target's found a new way in ruining G.I. Joe Classified pre-orders, because obviously when it first kicked off, there was the whole furore about, like, you know, selling out super fast and no one got an opportunity to get them. Then they expected them on shelves and they were just very rarely on shelves. Then they were on shelves, but not for very, you know, but like past the moment of that kind of that in initial interest. So there was like a big issue at the beginning. They seem to have sorted that out, but then there was still a lot of cancellations going on, you know, like after they sorted that kind of aspect out.
Yeah.
And now we're in this position now where they're just not putting anything out. They're not fulfilling pre-orders. And they're just doing this kind of like weird cancellation thing. It's only speculative that we're talking about that, you know, this and that. But that does seem to be the case, doesn't it? In at the moment, is the Target just are not prioritizing these figures at the current time? And it's weird because it's like, surely, look, it's not like the shelves are packed and they can't get anything else on there. So surely you just put the product that you have up, right?
Well, my pigs are still, to be honest, the pigs at my Target are still packed with Snake Eyes movie stuff.
I see what you mean. I see what you're saying, yeah. I never see anything when I go. Like, there'll be like one or two figures. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's they probably needed to have a sale on the Snake Eyes movie stuff. Like, those needed to be $5 a long time ago.
Yeah, agreed.
But, yeah, I think that the thing that maybe they're not thinking things through about, and this would actually take a lot of planning from them to realize that they can't ship all this stuff, just can't ship at once.
No,
I've said it before myself. I had to cancel pre-orders because of the fact that I can't afford to have everything that I've pre-ordered ship all in 1 month.
That's like $3.5 million, isn't it?
Yeah. $3.5 million worth of toys can't ship in 1 month.
Pat only has 3.4 mil in his bank at any one time. So, I don't know. This isn't Hasbro and you're 194.3 million and they're like, oh, it's so sad. It's a shame, isn't it, that like they go through that whole process of, you know, taking out a section of their workforce recently and it, you know, it still didn't like pad the numbers enough for them. I wonder if it would have been even worse for their numbers for this report without that, you know, segment of redundancies. But I'm not sure how they line up in terms of timing. Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure if like that then has an effect on this quarter or if it'll have an effect on the next quarter. I imagine it, like, again, I'm not a financial expert by any means, and we shouldn't even be talking about this in the depth that we are, but we're talking about the effects that it has on our particular G.I. Joe. That's all we're talking about here, really. In any kind of expert opinion, there's none of that right now. But yeah, it's all a bit kind of doom and gloom. Anyway, thank you, Jarhead, for the comment. I'll get to everyone else's as well. Little side comment here from RKW1138. When is the Bumblebee or Striker review, Chris? Well, it's on hold at the moment, but I think sometime next week should be out, RKW, because I did get that in quite an advanced manner, which I'm very happy about. But yeah, like I said, it should be sometime in next week you should see that. So thanks for asking on that one. Anyway, and also, like, you know, there's a lot to unpack with this, and I think it's more than just a segment on a weekly, and we should probably get some people in as well. I think it'd be good, actually, Pat, if we could maybe get some people that know what they're talking about from the financial standpoint. I know Paddy obviously studies that, or has studied that in you know, like, that's his, as you call it, his major. So like, he, you know, he's kind of like, that's his wheelhouse. So maybe we could get Paddy on to do some sort of like monthly on this in more depth, because I think it's worth talking about, but definitely with a little bit more expertise. Anyway, thank you. And sorry, lots of comments coming in. Oh, that's interesting. Mike Hex, Target definitely dumped many Fortnite items. I haven't seen much Fortnite, honestly, on the pegs. And it is kind of weird, isn't it? Considering that was the hot property like not too long ago.
Yeah, Ollie's has like this big stack of the 4-inch scale Fortnite truck, like pickup truck. And it's an amazing little thing, and it's awesome. But Ollie's has it for $20 and Walmart has it for $35.
Yeah.
So it puts the other retailers in this weird spot. And I don't know what G.I. Joe item it's going to be, but I expect at some point we will see some G.I. Joe stuff at clearance. And that's part of the softening of the blow of the fact that I've had to cancel some of my pre-orders. I mean,
yeah, totally.
I don't think that we can count on all of it, though. If you really want some stuff.
Yeah.
You have to prioritize making sure that you get it still.
There's a little bit of like,
yeah,
like kind of like studying the market a little bit, isn't there? Like kind of like looking at certain figures and going, okay, that sold out in like 30 seconds. That's going to be difficult to maybe get hold of, even if they do a second run of them, which they have talked about with a number of these figures. Ed made a good point. Thank you, Mike, by the way. Ed made the point here. I'm shocked they blame the higher prices. Like, that's usually the part you say under your breath, isn't it? I know that is. Well, they did mention that in the report. They did say that has had an effect on, you know, the kind of like the revenue, which is interesting, isn't it? Maybe that might lead them into dropping a few of those. Do you think that would be the case, Pat? Or do you think they're just going to? Yeah, that's too optimistic, isn't it?
I'm glad that they acknowledge that was the problem, because I mean, we don't need to have an expert on here to know that the prices have been going up.
Oh yeah,
really quickly, and I'm glad that they kind of owned up to that.
Actually. Yeah, I will say I'm surprised actually, and really happy that they fought hard. The Joe Brand team fought hard for the classified standard releases to stay at $24.99. So like, I've been really kind of like impressed that they've done that. I know that obviously by doing that they've offset by doing adding newer price points with, like, you know, slightly more increased accessories and stuff in some cases. So there's a bit of a balance going on there. But it's nice that if you wanted to just collect the classified standard series, you're probably not going to be too out of pocket in that sense. Obviously, when you start getting into deluxes and figures and vehicles, it gets ridiculous. But then, you know, it's nice that they've managed to kind of keep that price point on the classified standard releases. He says next year it'll probably be like probably leap up again.
Well, do you think so, or do you think that maybe because they've realized that prices are a problem, that I don't think that they're going to drop the retail price. That just would be a bad sign. But I mean, how often do we actually have just a sale from Hasbro Pulse?
Yeah, very, not that often. I don't think, have we had that? Have we had sales?
Exactly. Like, maybe we actually need to just have a sale, even if it was just to, you know, Pulse Premium members, or a preview of a sale to premium members.
Yeah.
Something, because, I mean, maybe they don't do that because they keep low inventory and they don't need to, but...
We will, I will move on with this in a second, but Grant has asked, hey, Chris, how do you think this drop in revenue will affect lines like G.I. Joe? That's an interesting point, because it's, you know, you'd be kind of naive to think it wouldn't affect it in some way, shape or form. But Hasbro haven't all, like, every quarter they report their revenue. It's not always an increase. In fact, very often it's like, you know, it kind of stays in a similar ballpark. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll be on these drops where there's been like a significant like number of factors that have influenced the drop in revenue. But they usually, what they'll do is they'll then like, what's the word? They kind of react to that, don't they, for the next quarter. And they'll implement a number of things, and then you'll probably see a spike going up. But that the spike going up is just a spike from the previous quarter, isn't it? Like, if you were to look at the whole, like, you know, the whole graph, let's say, for a decent period of time, it probably wouldn't be any higher than it has ever been. But, like, I know at one quarter they reported record profits. That might even have been last quarter. Or the quarter prior to that. I can't remember exactly when it was.
I do remember that, yeah.
But there were record profits recently, in recent memory. So this is probably just going to be one of those things where they react to this, it'll spike up again in the quarter four, and we might not notice anything different with G.I. Joe at all. It's hard to say when you're not, like, in there. And even when you're in there, it's hard to kind of know how it's going to affect the product. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, it's just a bit of a crapshoot half the time, Grant. But anyway, yeah.
I don't think it'll affect it for a long time.
Good point. Sorry, Pat, you can continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was just saying that I don't think that we'll see it affected for a long time. I always think of it as kind of a game of leapfrog with the pricing of G.I. Joe. Usually when we've seen an increase in price, there's some sort of increase in packed-in items. And then slowly over time, those packed in items get taken away and the price doesn't change.
Yeah.
That usually seems to be the way that the price of action figures have gone up. This time around, they've just been really raising the prices. And in the case of Marvel, you know, they're raising the price on figures while they're dropping the number of the accessories.
Yeah.
So I think it's making the price increases really, really obvious to consumers.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens a lot is, and we've seen this definitely, it's easy to compare if you compare it to the 80s to till now.
Yeah.
Is the fact that they're not making as big of a run of single items. And so they're making a lot more characters. And that makes it a little bit more difficult to notice that you're spending more money on Hasbro stuff. So maybe what we could see, and this, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, maybe what we could end up seeing is them just trying to offer more products.
Yeah.
Get more waves out the door in order to make up for it.
I could see that, definitely. And I think you're right. And there's going to be that kind of period of time where you're waiting for the effect to take place. It is usually there's like a knock-on effect, isn't there? And so on and so forth. So yeah, I definitely can agree with that. Joe Cameron said, Chris and Pat, I need help. How much would you spend on a complete Mark I Robo Skull? I'm tempted, but not sure. £400 tempted. That is expensive, Joe, but I think that's just kind of how much they are, honestly.
You know, I think I spent $200 on mine, and that was it was before like they got super crazy popular, but I knew that they were, you know, on the upswing at the time.
Everyone's going to hate me right now because I bought one complete with Red Wolf in perfect condition. I said it wasn't complete. There were two of the guns were missing on the wings. And so you're going to hate me. £50 that cost me. 50 for that. And it was like perfect working order. It just had those missing two guns and Red Wolf. But at the time, I was like, really? Okay, fine.
How long ago was that?
That was the year that toy hunter Jordan Hembra was in Birmingham to do the NEC show. I think that was an MCM job or a memorabilia. I can't remember which one. I think it was MCM, but that was in Birmingham. So that would have been 2013.
I want to say that the one I bought was probably shortly after that, like 2014, 2015, something like that.
The prices did skyrocket. I think want to put the blame at Dave Treesdore for doing the Robo Skull panels at JoeCon, because that seemed to raise prices for that. There were other factors, obviously, Larry putting red shadows on the comic as well. But again, that was really down to Dave getting Larry to come to roll out roll call and having that relationship with him. So I blame Dave Tree entirely for that. anyway, Joe, sorry about that. We're not answering your question. I would say 400 for a complete Mark One Robo Skull is probably about what you pay. I think in the, you know, Roma Collectibles had loads of them, didn't they? And they were like $400 for a complete one, I think.
Yeah, I would say that that's actually I don't know. My gut feeling on it is that that's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah, just go for it, Joe. You know, well, you only live once. YOLO, I should have just said YOLO. excuse me. Sorry, guys, loads of comments. I apologize. I'm not going to get to every single one of them because I have fallen behind dramatically. But we're moving on to the next news item. And that is in Toys R Us in the UK with WH Smith News.
Yes, that's right. It just will not die. Toys R Us are making deals in the United Kingdom now with a sublicense agreement that will see 9 store-in-store implants, their wording, not mine, appearing in WH Smith stores in UK high streets all over the country. This will be very similar to the Toys R Us pop-ups in Macy's all over the US, so hopefully this is a stepping stone to a full-on return for the extremely missed Toy Superstore. Or am I just being too optimistic? Pat, am I being too optimistic?
Yes, you're being too obvious.
You're right. We've kind of been down this road so many different times. Obviously, this is, you know, this is what Toys R Us is now, isn't it, at the moment? Like, it's just like a store within a store kind of setup. One of the reasons I wanted to kind of bring it up was obviously, you know, we talk a lot about the United States and how that, like, you know, that area, because obviously a lot of the presenters are from the US. I live in the United States now, so it's very kind of prominent that we focus on that. The fact that this was in the United Kingdom with WH Smith, which is a store that I'm very, like, you know, I know very well, it seems like, I don't know, it seems like a thing I wanted to talk to you about, because this is not, for me, this is not how, like, Toys R Us should be. Toys R Us, the reason Toys R Us worked so well, and I'm wearing my hat today as well, let's see. The reason Toys R Us works so well is because of that wow factor. As a kid, you go into this big, massive, big box, open warehouse kind of store, and it is just wall-to-wall toys. It's you know, like stimuli from every different direction, visual, audio. Like, it's just everywhere. Like, and that is the experience with Toys R Us. Even when it's empty and there's no one in there and you go in, it was just absolutely magical. In fact, I preferred it when it was empty and there was just a few people in there. But basically, to me, that's Toys R Us. And I just wanted to get your opinion on it. Is this a way back for it, or is this just how it's going to be, do you think, going forward forever?
I feel like this is just limping along. And I just can't imagine an economic situation that would allow Toys R Us to come back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because I can remember not having Toys R Us whenever Toys R Us was a huge company. We didn't have Toys R Us in this area until 1987, I think. So we missed a lot of the big years of Toys R Us around here. And we had other great toy stores that I loved. But, you know, Toys R Us was the last of them. So I just, the way that kids get out of physical toys so early in their lives, I don't know. I mean, anymore, the closest thing we have to Toys R Us in the area is probably GameStop. And that just feels like it's not at all the same. You know, you walk in, there's some collector stuff, and obviously there's video games, which are probably one of the things that kids spend the most time with now. But that same toy experience of walking into a huge, you know, a store that uses a lot of real estate, and they always felt a little bit toward the end that they were struggling anyway. You know, year after year, it was like, how are they going to get by? How are they going to get by? It's just a shame where it is now. But I don't know, maybe I'm being a pessimist. I can't imagine it getting to a point where I would have them in this area again, considering that they weren't always here anyway.
Yeah, like for me, I totally agree with that. I think that it's very, very unlikely we're going to get back to the original Toys R Us kind of model. And it's also a shame that, you know, the way Toys R Us was kind of like taken out, you know, because it wasn't necessarily like struggling. It was just the fact that it was like it was forced to, you know, almost like be removed and just to make money for other people. So I don't know. I find that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot more to it than it just kind of like, you know, struggling and then ending. That's the thing. Like, I would go into Toys R Us all the time, and it was never empty. The product was always pretty decent on shelves. They always had new stuff as well. So, like, I don't know. It was weird that it just disappeared overnight. It seemed, and this new kind of way. Like, I've been to a couple of the Macy's kind of in-store kind of things, and it's not the same. It's just a segment, isn't it? You know, it doesn't really have the same. It doesn't really have the same kind of like feeling anymore. And I know, like, that, you know, there are a lot of people obviously in Canada who are still enjoying Toys R Us, and I'm very, very jealous of that. It seems to be working and operating in other areas. It's just not, you know, in the United States, the United Kingdom and other places like that. But I'm glad that it is operating as, you know, in its proper capacity in other places, because I feel like we can always make that pilgrimage maybe. It makes it even more special in that sense.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, could it operate on a physically smaller scale? Like a because the size of the store that it was, obviously, I mean, what if it was in a location that was maybe the size of like a Five Below, rather than this big sprawling like huge store? Because the store that's right near me, they knocked it over. It's a gas station now. The building is gone. So even if it was like this light switch, which that's not how businesses work, you can't just, you know, reignite all those old landlord-tenant agreements that easily. But the store, physical store, is gone. They couldn't just move back in there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that, isn't there? Like, a lot of them are just Spirit of Halloween or... Yeah. Or they've just been decimated, or gas stations or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, so maybe something GameStop sized would be the thing that they could maybe do in a few select cities. Maybe. I think that would be cool. I would, you know, I'd be happy to go there and see what happens if they were able to get back on their feet to expand beyond that too.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But again, like, it takes away a lot of the special event of it all, doesn't it? When it's not in that original like format, it's, I don't know, it's just difficult. In any case, that's Toys R Us. They're going to be, like I said, I think this starts in the first quarter of next year. It's going to be 9 in-store implants of Toys R Us sections in WH Smith. Now, WH Smith is an interesting one for my UK viewers at the moment who are with us. WH Smith is a weird one. It's like a news agent mixed with, you know, there's like stationery, there's books in some of them, there's like, you know, food, and it's all sorts of random things in some cases, that just everything is in there. But it originally was, I believe, a kind of news agent. So it would have been like, you know, magazines, newspapers, et cetera, et cetera. That was like the original. And then it's just kind of grown and grown. They've added sections. The one in Norwich that I used to visit in the high street, or in my home city, that was like 2 levels. And you'd go in and it was like, you know, magazines and newspapers, a big section of that, a huge section for those. And then on the other side, it was stationery. And then you go to the back and there were like, you know, greeting cards and stuff like that. And then there was like others. There's another section of like other random stuff. And then upstairs, it was like a huge book kind of section as well. So there was a lot, there's a lot going on in them. And, you know, Toys R Us, I guess, is just going to have a little corner in there. And that's where they're going to sell a few little toys. But anyway, that's effectively what we're dealing with this news. And I thought it was worth chatting about because, again, we do focus a lot on the United States. And I thought it'd be nice to throw in a little UK story that popped up this week. Link in the description if you want any more information on any either of the two, segments we've discussed so far. But, Pat, let's move on to a bit more interesting and more fun news for us and the viewers. And that is in HisLab, I've decided to call it, Painted Models News.
Tony from the G.I. Joe brand team has been sharing images of his paintwork for the HasLab His Tank figures on his Instagram page this week, specifically the female gunner and the retro Cobra Commander. The images show the progression of the figures from grey models to fully painted works of art. You can check all the images by following the link in the description. Now all we have to do is sit and wait by our mailboxes until the His Tank delivers.
Yep, it's simple really, just hang out, just wait for it to turn up, right? This was a nice little kind of surprise. And like, I think we'd had, like Tony's been kind of posting some of his like paint job works on his Instagram page where it's like, here's the model and then here's like the final kind of piece. So it's nice to kind of see these figures in kind of all their glory, really. First off, we got the female gunner, which is absolutely looks absolutely fantastic. What are your thoughts on this? I know we've seen her kind of in, you know, like other kind of scenarios on live events and so on and so forth, but to get like a really good close up, what are your thoughts of the figure so far?
It looks good. I don't really have too many new thoughts. I like seeing the gauntlets that they have. Is that another magazine down right next to the gun with a foregrip?
It
looks like we have two magazines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
I think one of those guns she hasn't been seen with yet. It might be the one on the left. I think that's the first time we've seen that gun with, or maybe we have seen it with her and I just haven't noticed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking that maybe is going on with me as well, that I just like it didn't register exactly what it looked like until now.
RKW1138 says, when is the Hiss vote? Not a clue, buddy. Every day I keep thinking it's going to be today. It's going to be soon. We're going to get an email.
I expected it during the PulseCon and it didn't happen.
Yeah, like maybe 1027. Who knows? Who knows? I kind of thought it'd be a great opportunity to get Ron involved, have like a little chat with him, like a little kind of, you know, one of the kind of like short interviews they do on those kind of shows. And then he could kind of like reveal his artwork for the figure, or well, actually I don't think he can do it yet because he hasn't, we need to choose the color, right? So the tactician needs to be chosen so he can do the artwork, surely. I don't know, maybe like sketch of it, like the sketch work of it, who knows. But I think that would be kind of cool and fun, and it'd be great if they could just release that vote during 1027, which is next week now. My goodness, this just, it's constant, isn't it? Jordan from Canada says, very nice paint jobs. They are really cool. And what's interesting is he also showed us the kind of original grey models as well, or like the kind of, you know, the prototypes before they were painted. I love the fact there's some aspects that are like got this transparent plastic on as well. I think that's kind of cool. But again, interesting to see it in this form, isn't it, Pat?
You know, I love seeing stuff like this. I love a peek in at the process. So the more often that they post things like this, the more I appreciate it. Loads also of people looking at that bag of parts in the background behind her head.
I know. This is what I think they do this on purpose. Like when he posted this image of the female gunner, you can see in the background, Cobra Commander's all wrapped up in there as well. So like people were saying, is that the Cobra Commander figure? And I'm like, yeah, it probably is. So it's obviously, it made sense that just a few images later, that's the gunner broken up into lots of different parts as well, which is kind of cool again to see. You can really get like an idea of the engineering that's gone on for the figure, which is really cool. We got the Cobra Commander as well, the retro one. Again, this one we've seen these figures I suppose, in lots of different ways, in decoed up either digital renders or, you know, in hand on live events and stuff. So this isn't like super new, but it's, again, nice to see these kind of close-ups to see all like the details and everything. And again, the accessory kind of loadout is kind of fun with this one. Something somebody mentioned to me, Pat, I want to get your impression of this as well. I think it was Paddy, said that the gun looks kind of small.
I agree. It looks really kind of little. Just, it doesn't look like it's that much bigger than the 3¾-inch gun. It's just in a 6-inch hand.
I wonder if he got the original gun and put it in his hand on that one. That wouldn't be too far from the truth, possibly. But we do obviously see, because he's got his little backpack for where the gun to kind of go, where the gun goes into. I'm not sure if it's actually in there, though, is it?
No, I don't.
No, it's not.
Still in his right hand in that image.
Yes, you're right. It is. I thought it was just Pope had a really massive finger in that other. Yeah. So I have to agree with Paddy. I think the gun does look a little bit too small. A lot of people are saying that too. Who's saying that? Matthew Matson saying yes, it is way too small. Here's a question for us, Renegade Biker. Where's the update on the Sky Striker campaign? Last update we had on the Sky Striker campaign was during. Was it PulseCon? No, it wasn't. It was before that, wasn't it?
No, yeah, it was before that. I don't think they mentioned it during PulseCon.
It wouldn't have been SDCC. It would have been the event prior to SDCC, right?
Yeah, was it during a Fan First Friday, maybe?
It was one of those, I think. It was one of those. It was definitely the event. I think the event before SDCC kicked off. There wasn't much space between the two, so you know they were quite close together. But yeah, it's interesting. We haven't had anything really on that one. It'd be nice if we finally get some sort of like, again, maybe 1027. But then you say that, and then it comes and goes, and we still haven't heard anything.
Yeah, and we saw the figure samples. I mean, they were pretty much production level, and they had the tracking numbers printed on their faces and on the card backs. Whenever we saw them last. So that's really close to being ready to go. So I kind of wonder if maybe they are just waiting to ship things, because maybe they don't want them to be clogging the shipping.
Yeah. Something Sean's just mentioned here, which I think I might agree with. He says he thinks it's the camera lens. It looks like the perspective is warped a bit. And I got a feeling that could be the case, because the helmet does look a little bit tall. And we've seen the figure in hand, and I don't think it is that tall. Like, I think, like, when I see the, when we saw the actual figures shown off in the event, they are the same figures, effectively. So I'm maybe on the fence there that you're probably right, Sean. And I think maybe the gun looks far away because it's on this, like, kind of like a fisheye lens almost. Quite a fisheye, but like something along those lines.
Well, the closer that you have like a cell phone camera, because I'm sure that's what this probably is.
Yeah.
Or any camera the shape of the lens is going to affect it even more.
Yeah.
You know, giving that kind of that fisheye look. But yeah,
I think that's
definitely what's going on here. But
that might be a good shout, because I'm going to have a look actually at the last live event, I think during PulseCon, where they actually showed the figures, and have a look to see if that is the case, because I don't think it is. I think the gun might be a little bit bigger than that picture's showing, and I think the head might be a little bit shorter than it's showing on there. Here we go. Jeremy says, last Sky Striker update was the HISS announcement video back end. I think it might have been that. Bloody hell, that was a long time ago. I remember them doing... Yeah, like when they talked about like the new kind of color on it, or like the color of the actual Sky Striker was going to be slightly different. I remember them kind of discussing that, and they didn't go into loads of detail, but they were like basically just, you know, talking over it, weren't they? Yeah, maybe it was that long ago. Blimmin' hell. Anyway, oh, that's Diecast Nickers. Yeah, it's the angle. Head looks big, but not in the photo, and the figure is laid down. There you go.
There you go.
That's a better shot. Thank you, Diecast Nick. I could have just done that myself, really, just found out. But yeah, the gun does look a little bit stumpy. I'm not going to lie. It does look a little bit short. The head, though, is definitely much better at that angle. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Maybe the gun is that short then, Fat.
It is just a very short-looking gun is what it looks like. Yeah, it's... I don't know. I could definitely see everybody kind of wanting to replace the gun whenever they get this in hand. I don't, it's not that great looking to me.
Robert H says, given all the Galactus shipping right now, you'll get your Sky Strikers in a month or two. That's, I think maybe we might start getting some information about them because maybe Galactus was holding up production or something along those lines, or something was being held up based on what had to be done for Marvel. I don't know. Maybe that is the case. Anyway, there's your co-recommender. I think was there another image? Or I can't remember. Let me know, Pat, if there's another image after that, because I can't remember.
No, this
And
is the last image.
good. Thank you for that. Right then. We have one more news story to get through. Obviously, want to give a shout out to Tony as well. I love the fact that he's kind of giving us these little insights on his Instagram page. You can find links to both the Female Gunner and Cobra Commander in the description below. And also just follow him on Instagram because he posts amazing stuff. And also I met the funny story that you'll like this. Tony, I hung out with Lenny, Travis Moody from A Toy Kind of Mood, shout out to Travis, Chris from Disney, and Tony from obviously from and Lenny. Did I say Lenny? Yeah. From the G.I. Joe brand team a few weeks back. And we all hung out. It was a great night. We had a good laugh. And in speaking to Tony, at one point, I mentioned Eric Ridlon's name to Tony. Eric Ridlon at Boss Fight Studio is an amazing painter himself. And they'd worked together in the past. Now, what was funny is that Tony and I were chatting away, mentioned Eric, and then Tony said, "I think that's where I remember you from, Eric's wedding." And I was like, "Holy crap, we've met before." We met at Eric's wedding, and then both of us just forgot. The only reason Tony remembered me was because I hit the dance floor all night, and that was the only reason he remembered from my dancing antics. So massive shout out to Tony. And it was such a funny thing. We were just like, "Oh, I can't believe we've been chatting away, like thinking this is the first time we've met, and we've actually met before." So that was hilarious. But Tony's such he was an absolute gem of a human. Had a great time. And yeah, follow him on Instagram and check out his amazing pictures because they're awesome. Anyway, enough of the name drops. Clang. Let's move on to the next news item, Pat, which is about Amazon shipping bonuses.
A number of shipping emails were sent out to customers who had ordered the Amazon exclusive classified Kamakura on Thursday evening and Friday morning, with most figures set for delivery on Tuesday of next week, it would seem. This is a nice bonus seeing as the original shipping date was in November. I will be doing an unboxing live next week to see what he's like, so make sure to tune in and watch me fumble about.
Well, it might be sooner than that because since that video was recorded only like yesterday, I woke up this morning to find out that Kamakura is going to be delivered today. So that's, I know, crazy.
Mine was
Pat's like,
originally Tuesday as well. Let me see if
straight to his emails.
straight to my emails. That's right.
We'll put the show on hold while Pat does that. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so Kamakura, we're just going to silence until Pat can check his emails. This actually, a lot of people, sorry, mentioning on the previous some previous comments from that Cobra Commander. Why couldn't they use the Snake Supreme gun? Why wouldn't they use the same gun from Snake Supreme? It looked good. So a lot of people were kind of mentioning that the Snake Supreme pistol would probably do the same job. I don't know,
Yeah.
actually. I would have to I have to look at that again because again, my memory for this stuff is terrible because at the moment it was such as with the news cycle, with us having to kind of cleave through everything and the amount of figures that we actually get, it's you know, this stuff just leaves my head. I can't even remember what his gun looked like. Was it the same one?
I barely even remember, to be honest.
Yeah, I
I
feel
think
bad,
I've
but
seen that same gun so many times in different forms that it's really just hard to remember at this point.
and anyway, good point, and it was worth mentioning, I guess. But I can't remember what the gun looks like. And I've got the Snake Supreme right there in the distance. I can see him, but I can't work out what blooming gun he has. Anyway, enough of that.
Oh, yeah, it's a much longer gold one.
Yeah, That's weird then, isn't it? Maybe it was down
so
to...
Much, and they're right. It looks so much better to me.
Well, just use that then. Paint that and use that when Retro Cobra Commander comes out and wedge it into the sheath on his back. That is cold.
It has
back.
An open end on it, on the sheath. The sheath, yeah.
The sheath.
It's a holster. I said, you caused me to call it a sheath.
Amazing. Anyway, anywho, Classified Kamakura. Let's focus on that. Pat,
yeah,
what's your email
say? Is arriving Tuesday, oh, so I'm out of luck.
I'm sorry. So maybe if everyone's lucky, I don't know if lucky is the word, but I might be doing that later tonight. We'll see. I was going to do like an unboxing, basically, live of Kamakura, so it might happen tonight. Anyway, I'm excited to get this figure. It's one of those things where I was really happy because we were getting characters that weren't from like your usual kind of arena of G.I. Joe, kind of like the core area. And the fact that they just randomly threw Kamakura in there and it's like, nice. So I've got a feeling there's going to be a lot of reuse going forward with this particular figure. I think like, you know, they might do some sort of like redeco, but then also you've got other characters that you could get out of a lot of these parts. So I'm kind of excited to see where it goes from here. But this figure, really love the look of it, really love the kind of whole, the whole enchilada of this figure, if that's a term. So I'm really excited for this one. Pat, though, what are your thoughts? Were you happy they went for a different era of G.I. Joe with the figure, and how do you think they executed it?
Well, this is one of the figures that made my cuts, so that should tell you what I think of it. You know, I kept this one.
Oh, right. Sorry. That makes more sense. Sorry. Apologize.
Yeah. No,
I thought you made the list of cuts is what I was thinking.
No, that's
I was
like, not oh, how no. Made the cut works.
Yeah.
So, I think this one looks really good, and it kind of makes me regret the fact that we didn't get this classic look of Kamakura in the 4-inch scale, because they did him twice, you know, one for each movie, strangely, and none for the regular 25th line. So
yeah,
it makes me, again, I'm more partial to that scale. So anytime I see something done well in 6-inch, it just makes me want it in the 4-inch size. But it looks good. I'm eager to get this in hand.
Awesome. I'm glad that's the case. I think I'm just happy that they went with something that wasn't like of the usual, you know, scenario. It wasn't Oh, okay. James Smith says, when you do your unboxing, have barbecue nearby for head swap. Good shout. So we can get this head on barbecue. That's a good shout, James. I like that. Or do you want the barbecue's helmet head on Kamakura?
With the hood.
I'm gonna do that just like as a complete, I got the wrong end of the stick completely on James Smith's comment. But yeah, that's a good shout. We're not doing sheath men's underwear commercials now, Matthew. No, we just like talking about sheaths instead of holsters. Compulsive Collector says, yeah, my Kamakura is out for delivery. Love the DDP era design of this one. Mine is on Halloween and I can't wait. Nelson says, it's exciting for the community to be getting a figure all at around the same time. Yeah, that's actually a good point,
yeah,
Nelson.
That's a very good point.
That is a very good point. It's weird. It's funny, isn't it? How like so often it's like you'll get people getting these figures way in advance, way, way in advance. And then like months go by. And then like the people that pre-ordered in the first 30 seconds start getting their stuff. But then the next wave isn't for months later. So you get these really like broken up distribution kind of channels, don't you? So I agree with you on that, Nelson. I think the fact that everyone got this email pretty much and it's within a week is brilliant.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the last classified figure that I actually received. It's been so long that I'm having trouble remembering.
Yeah. Mine would have been the Viper 3 pack.
You know, the Viper 3 pack, I wasn't thrilled with that. That was one of the first ones that I was like, you know what? I don't know if I can handle buying this. I just don't feel like the... I don't want to get into it too much. That was not one of the ones that made the cut for me.
Well, we did. I think I spoke about this with myself last week. Thanks, Pat. But I was, no, actually during the unboxing, in actual fact, for the Viper 3 pack, I was kind of like, kind of in agreement with a lot of people, as the price point was definitely a little too high. I think if it had been $10 cheaper, I think I'd have been far more accepting of that.
I don't know. The problem with it was, anytime you have a multi-pack, I expect there to be, you know, a little bit of a cost savings passed on to me.
Yeah.
And as it was, there was a cost bump.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think the rationale was the effects pieces. Which
yeah.
I'm glad other people are getting those, but they don't really do anything for me.
It is a very, like, some people love blast effects, some people don't really, like, they don't use them at all, they don't come out of the package. So it is one of those things where if it, and I said this on the channel, I said, like, it is one of those situations where you're like, is this something I actually want? Now, for me, it was, because I really love the deco of the Viper Officer, and the blast effects were something that I was kind of interested in and actually really enjoy them. But I definitely think that they could have definitely taken 10 bucks off that. Minimum. And I think I would have been more accepting of that price point. But as it was, it is. I think that particular pack priced a lot of people out of getting that set 100%.
I think that if they had chopped $10 off, I'd still be complaining that it was too high, to be honest.
Well, that is
very high.
What would your ideal price point for a 3-pack be in that?
Honestly,
sense?
whenever they first showed that, I think that we were still getting figures closer to $20.
Yeah.
And so I would say $60, and the cost savings would be reflected in getting those effects pieces. It was about $30 too high to me.
Yeah, it was a stretch. I personally don't think we're going to see it that high again for any kind of future similar kind of set.
I think that we're going to be looking at that set, because you already don't have to pay the full price on Amazon. I think that that's one of the sets that we are going to see at a clearance price.
It's easy to get hold of, 100%. Yeah, you're right, definitely. Similar kind of thing I would suggest here for Kamakura, because I think a lot of people are thinking that the price doesn't necessarily reflect the accessories it comes with. Now, I do have to kind of agree. I know they kind of increased, they added a few different price points in order to get some characters more gear. And I get that. But, like, I feel with Kamakura, you're only really getting the head as an additional item. And everything else is what you kind of expect with a kind of ninja. I know there's still a lot of gear with him. Like, he still comes with, like, the swords, the sheath, the sheath in this case, not the holsters, the gun, like the pistol, the Uzi, the hood piece, the two alternate heads, and then the small swords and then the long sticks. So he's getting lots of different accessories. But you could easily have cut some of those if you just wanted to do the alternate head. Some of those accessories don't have to be in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that would have been just as fine.
I will also say that if I had my choice of characters to have alternate heads, it wouldn't, like, of the ones released so far, it wouldn't be Kamakura. I probably would have put it on Barbecue instead.
That's a good point. Yeah, Barbecue would have been a great one to have an alternate head for. There's a few, actually, but yeah, Barbecue 100% on that one. You know, sometimes when they do like the fused helmet kind of scenario, that's where you want a character with another head. So I kind of agree with that. I'm happy that Kamakura gets an alternate head, because we know what his face, it's not like,
it also gets kind of tiring to have every single ninja be covered up.
Exactly. But anyway, that is a bone of contention for most fans at the moment. And it's one of those things that, like, you know, I'm also in that boat, but I only collect classified. So it's not affecting me in the larger kind of like collecting scenario. I know a lot of people are struggling and having to make cuts and decisions and stuff like that. But Jeremy says Tiger Force Barbecue will have an unhelmeted head, smiley face. It's funny you say that, but I'd love a Tiger Force Barbecue. I know it makes zero, well, it makes more sense than most characters being in Tiger Force, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be a fun deco. Like a lighter, like the, maybe you could do the vehicle deco on him and have a big smiley face on his big animal mouth on his helmet. No, not a fan of that. Okay. Oh. I'm going to mock that up just to see what it looks like. Anyway, anywho, that's Kamakura. He should be coming very soon for a lot of us, which is great. I think like my original delivery date was in November. This is saying, it was originally saying Tuesday. That is now today. So hopefully it does come. And if it does come in decent time, maybe we'll get an unboxing later today. We shall see. Anyway, Pat, let's move into shout outs. That's all the news for today. Like I said, well, not a great deal of news, but we still managed to get an hour out of it. So well done on that.
Yeah, I always talk too long about things. That's what I do.
That's what we do, trust me. Right then, guys, let's move on to shout outs then. But before we do that, a little word from Hoarder.
Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner slash developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding.
I love that new beat. It's banging. Peppermint Oil Capsule. I'll do both of your comments because you've been very kind and generous again. That's the exact mask I wore at work during lockdown. I think you're talking about that one, right? Very awesome. And also, again, thank you, Peppermint Oil Capsule, for another amazing, yay, super chat. Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse YouTube channel checking in. There's a rumor that Super 7 finally answered the call. 5 point of articulation, red laser repaint of Cobra Commander, I hope. That is very likely. Now, Pat, you weren't here last week, so you have no idea about this. But Super 7...
I actually did hear the news.
Yeah, red laser is coming to the Super 7 reaction line. Well, you know, that's what the leaked listings say. But it's not like the leak listings have ever really been wrong. Sometimes they've been misinterpreted, but I don't think we can get this one wrong. Red Laser Cobra Commander is what we're going to be getting. Excited for that one?
Yeah, for sure. It's a little weird, you know, still the whole 5 POA thing and buying G.I. Joe that way. But it's crazy the thought of having Red Laser back in the format that will fit in a little bit more with the other Action Force figures.
Weird, isn't it? It's like the one they do is a like an actual O-ring figure that. And but again, I'm really excited to see it. And that's another. Yeah, it's going to be on shelves. Do you know what I mean? And it's not as if it's going to have Palitoy Action Force written on it. But it's just nice that it's got like, you know, we're going to have like that Red Cobra Commander, but as Red Laser. I think that's really cool. I'm interested to see how they present it. If it's going to be Cobra Commander,
oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than Red Laser on there, I'm interested to see how they actually. Because I mean, Ninja Ku, they seem to have gone with. We haven't seen it yet, but we've seen it on the back of the card. That seems to be Ninja Ku, separate from Storm Shadow, and also the Red Ninja was separate from Storm Shadow. The Fun School Snake Eyes obviously was Snake Eyes as well, so that makes sense. Secret Service one. But I'd be interested to see what they do with that. I mean, could you see them just doing it as Cobra Commander in red?
You know, I could, but I do think that it's just going to be called Red Laser, that they're going to just put that out there.
I hope so. The
club did it, so
yeah,
that probably should, you know, set a little bit of a precedent for Hasbro to, you know, for a licensee to be able to do it as well. Yeah, I think that it's just going to be Red Laser, and it's going to be awesome. But I'm curious to see how well it compares, you know, next to some of the original Red Shadows.
Totally. I think that'd be interesting to see how they kind of match up. Like, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that peppermint oil capsule. And yes, cannot wait to see and to kind of get into that, especially when they kind of actually get released. Before we move into even more shout out, before Pat has to do his shout out of the usual variety.
Right.
Mike Hex, thank you for another, appreciate very much so the super chat. Did you see the tease of Big Bad Toy Store's 112 line? I did. Pat, did you see that on the Toy Collector comic cover?
I didn't see what it is, just same. That it is.
It's only the teaser, I think, so far. And there's like a silhouette of what the figures are going to be. And it does look very kind of military, you know, possibly G.I. Joe-ish kind of style. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what that's going to be, Mike, honestly. And, you know, when it actually... So when that news kind of breaks, maybe Pat and I can talk about it on one of the episodes in the future when we actually know exactly what we're dealing with. Because it might be worth us kind of digging into and having a look at. But we'll see as and when that pops up. Yeah, but excited to see that, Mike. And thank you again for the super chat, buddy. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And, yeah, I know they're originals, sorry. What I mean is they look like they could be in that military arena because there's like weapons and there's other stuff, but it could be anything. And it could be sci-fi, it could be whatever. But yeah, really excited to see what that line is all about. And yeah, you're right, it's brand new. It's something that hasn't been done before. So yeah, excited to see. Okay then. Thank you, Mike. And to everyone for all your comments today. Pat, take it away. You've got one shout out.
Yeah, shout out as always to Philip. We're trying to put together an episode here sometime this week. So
awesome.
I'll be hopefully posting that sometime soon.
Brilliant. Check out the links in the description for Articulated Points. Excellent YouTube channel. Love it. I'm not just saying that because Pat's on the show. Just really, really interesting and awesome stuff. And shout out to Phil as well. I'm taking one of your shout outs and using it for my own. So that's awesome. Shout out to the fam in the UK and in the US. Love to everybody. I know mum's watching today. Maybe dad is. I don't know. Shout out to dad as well. Love you guys. Miss you guys. And also the fam in the US as well. We're going to be seeing you very soon because we're going to be traveling out to Missouri before we go up to Assembly Required, which we'll be talking about next because Brian Sauer does our amazing graphics. Shout out to Brian. And of course, he also runs Assembly Required. Now, a couple of updates with not very long to go at all. 14 days, or that was 14 hours ago, so 13 days to go. And they also wanted to make sure that people were aware of the custom contest and the rules for the custom contest. So if you haven't got your entries in for the custom contest, or if you haven't got them finished, I should say, time is running out. Maximum of 5 entries per person. Entries must be made of at least 50% G.I. Joe toy parts or be a custom from G.I. Joe lore. So you could have like a figure that was like a, you know, mainly used a Marvel legend. But as long as it was a figure that was a G.I. Joe from the G.I. Joe lore, then that would work as well. Entries must have been completed within the last year. Entries may include figures, any scale, vehicles or dioramas. Entries must be submitted by 1 p.m. CST on Saturday, November the 5th. Awards will be given for fan favorite and in a number of categories chosen by a panel of judges. Get those paints out and get to creating. This is always an amazing part of Assembly Required, isn't it, Pat? The customs are crazy good.
Yeah, I've never participated in the customs contest. I really should at some point just think about making something specific for AR just to participate because I have a lot of ideas. I just never get around to it. I'm always so busy. Like I'm still preparing myself for the AR panel. So it just, man, that feels like it's so soon, less than 2 weeks away.
I know it's always the worst, isn't it? And then it just that's all you think about then, and it gets kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, totally.
I know exactly what you mean. Kate's done that a few times. I think she's actually won stuff actually at the events as well. She won for her, I want to say the Outback, that she did a Tiger Force Outback figure that related to her cosplay of Tiger Force Outback, which is amazing. And like I said, just brilliant. She did really well.
I won one time at JoeCon, twice actually at JoeCon. I won a first place and a...
Well done.
Either a second or a third.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. I can't remember which it was. I kept on trying though, because I did that early on. So I kept on trying. I was like, man, I hope I win third place this year. Cause you know, then I would have one of each, 1, 2, and 3, but it didn't happen.
Saturday MFG, AKA Assembly Required, Brian Sauer. You're telling me super soon. I bet it's absolutely hectic for you right now, Brian. And also in relation to Assembly Required, I wanted to bring this up because obviously we've got a cool XMLR weapon set from Mark II Design as well. I think this is in the gear kits. So you've got Scarlet's crossbow, which looks awesome. And one I wanted to kind of show off mainly because Pat's, you know, favorite figure for the Snake Eyes is the version 3. You've got the version 3 gun that he kind of comes with as well, the little hook on it. How cool is that, buddy?
Yeah, that's definitely really cool. I didn't realize that was going to be in there.
I know, it's neat. So you're going to have that little weapon as well, which, again, you know, for all of our version 3 fans of Snake Eyes, I'm not one of them. I hate that figure. I'm joking.
Well, he did think it was worth putting that in there. You don't see any pink, gigantic, weird-shaped...
Whatever.
Whatever that thing is.
Whatever. yeah, you're right. Jarhead says, I'm still waiting for my Ice Cream Soldier custom. Where did you buy one from somebody? I want to know more about that. That sounds awesome. I also want to know the build for it. Jordan says, great sculpts. They are, aren't they, Jordan? They're really cool, aren't they? I really like those. Yeah, Mark II Design does some incredible work. Okay. And what else have we got? We've got Will Munio. Moinio. I never pronounce his name correctly, and I apologize.
Munio.
But Will, what is it, mate?
Minio?
Minio. Okay, we'll definitely go with that. He posted on his Facebook page, and I apologize, of course, it's an absolute legend, but he posted this amazing image, which we'll show you in full. I just wanted to give the reason behind the image first. The G.I. Joe movie's workroom wall as seen when facing north. Larry F. Houston, Frank Poore, and Boyd Kirkland had animation desks work areas in the room. I was working on the movie at night and on weekends, but had my own office for my gem work, so I never had a permanent desk here. My most poignant memory of this office is the day the guys and I watched the Challenger tragedy on a little black and white TV as it happened live. A side note in Joe history, I storyboarded a new title for the series featuring the Joe shuttle launch. Even though it was fully animated, he got scrubbed right after that, never to be seen again. That's really sad as well at the same time, but amazing bit of G.I. Joe history there for us, guys.
Yeah.
And of course, this wonderful image, which shows like the pterodrome over there. It's got, is that the Mobat? I think it's the Mobat or the cat. Might be the cat. I think it's black and red. Yeah, it's the cat. It's got the Cobra logo on the G.I. Joe stripes. And the X-30 Conquest over there. There's other little vehicles out there as well. I think that's the glider on the right-hand side, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a Viper glider.
What's next to it? That's not the recon sled, is it?
What is that? There's an LCV recon sled, and behind it, the Firebat.
Oh, that's what I'm getting confused about. And then all the way to the left, what is that in front of the cat box?
Is that a slam?
Could be. No, I think it's... Is it a slugger?
No, that's too small to be a slugger.
I can't tell. Anyway, let's know that. Brilliant. I loved it. And the images on the wall. I would have zoomed in on these. Oh, that's what it is. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. The images on the wall are great. When I zoomed in, it gets really blurry, so you can't really make a lot out. But how cool is that, Pat? How neat is that image?
You know, this is one of those weird situations, like whenever you've talked to somebody a lot and you've never met them in person. I've pictured this room as people have described writing things. And this isn't it. This isn't what's in my head. So now I have to adjust, you know, what my thoughts are to look more similar to this.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't expect to see, like, I guess I should have expected to see the vehicles and toys there. I'd been told before that they were there.
Yeah, they used them for reference, didn't they? Especially for yeah. storyboards and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it's just nice to know they had a bunch of cool stuff there, and like, you know, and yeah. I love so I really wish I could see close-ups of that art on the wall. I really want to get into some of that, like, in a big way.
Yeah, for sure. I would love it. I appreciate him dropping, though, this bit of information, and the fact that there was another intro that was done. When was that going to be used? Was that going to be, because there actually is a G.I. Joe season 3
yeah.
introduction. So I wonder if that was what that was going to be for.
It could possibly be, because he says here that they had a fully animated thing and they scrubbed it. And if you're talking like in a time crunch, they did throw a lot of like footage from previous things in that season 3 intro, didn't they? There was like loads of like random things in it.
It wasn't all it was.
Yeah. So that's probably what happened. Maybe it was for the season 3 intro and it got scrubbed.
Yeah. I mean, because what else would that have been if there was a new intro they're going to do, especially with the Defiant? That's you're talking 1987.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You got to take into consideration lead times as well. So yeah, but the fact that it was fully animated, that's insane.
Well, yeah, you have to take into account lead times, but I would imagine that would be the year that they would intended on airing it. Right?
Yeah, totally. That's so cool. Maybe it'd be worth getting Will on and getting a little bit more information about that, because that would be really cool to have a discussion on. Anywho, that was a great little nugget of history for the G.I. Joe movie. Shout out to Kickley again. He'd been posting loads of stuff in the week, by the way. There was a Flint Lady J. There was all sorts of cool pieces that he's been posting. But this one I thought was like just so cool. It was a Sarge knocking out a bunch of Crimson Guards, the battle bunker in the background. Just awesome stuff. I mean, it's a beauty, that one, isn't it, Pat?
Yeah, it's a really nice one. I like the energy he had to have exerted into that Crimson Guard's jaw in order to get him to practically flip over.
I love there was always a lot of punching of helmets, Kitty said, in the cartoon. Like they're just like knocking people out with a full on like Viper helmet on or something. It always made me laugh. But anyway, absolute beauty. Of course, Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse would love it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse again. Yeah, but again, beauty, love it. And shout out to Kickley. Link in the description if you don't already follow him. What are you doing? Make sure we want to start like a Kickley to do a classified piece of art, because I think that would be really dope. I'd love to see some Kickley art on a figure box. I think it would be great.
I agree. Yeah.
There you go. See, Pat agrees. Right. Also, shout out to go check out our latest episode of the monthly. Pat and I and Justin discuss part 2 of our deluxe G.I. Joe Most Wanted figures. Again, a lot of fun doing that, and it was great having Justin on again. Pat, you enjoy that one?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a fun discussion. I hope that everybody likes my picks that I made.
I would expect so. It's not like we've had loads of people going, these are the worst choices ever. But no, I think they were really cool. And yeah, go check it out. And also we do a version therapy of Roadblock as well at the end, where we talk about our favorite versions of that particular character, because he doesn't have that many figures, Roadblock. Lol. Shout out for Talking Joe. Larry Hammer interview dropping this coming Thursday. We'll be checking that out, definitely. Thanks, Mark. And there you go. There's a shout out for you as well. That brings us to the end of the episode. Hope you've enjoyed it today, guys. I know we didn't have a lot of like loads of news to talk about, but we still managed an hour and a quarter on this stuff. I don't know where it comes from, buddy. It's insane. But thank you, buddy, for jumping on again. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always fun. Sorry I wasn't here last week.
Hey, made up for it. You're back in the house. We're a little up in the air in terms of the weekly during Assembly Required in a couple of weeks. But we will let you know what the plan is going forward. There's a possibility we might just be having a break for a week, and then I'll be just putting out some different content around that time, because it's going to be difficult for any of us to get anything even closely prepared for that eventuality, because it's a, for me, it's a 2-day drive. Pat, probably the same for you, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. We always split it up into 2 days. Yeah, it's actually, I kind of split it up into three personally, because I, yeah, head over. Yeah, it's going to take a little while to get there.
Yeah, you head over to your person you're going with, and then, yeah, to Brian's, and then, yeah, go from there. So again, like, we'll let you know what our plan is. Obviously, we'll be doing probably a 1027 response as well. We'll be kind of talking about that next week. So that's going to be probably going to be most of the weekly next week. But anyway, we've got loads coming up for you this week. Like I said, we have a possible, hopefully we'll be dropping that review for the Autobot or Striker Bumblebee Stalker set. We've also got the possibility that I'll be doing a Kamakura unboxing very soon as well. I'll let you know if that's going to happen later today. And yeah, we'll hopefully some more news bursts in the week. So yeah, keep it locked to the only game in town, the Full Force Weekly. And Pat, as we always do at the end of these episodes, after three, I hope you're ready. I hope everyone's ready. 1, 2, 3,
Full Force.
Catch you later.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.